We souls are curious beings. It just depends on where we are in our advancement and our growth, and we're all there. We're all growing and learning on the same path, and even though we don't know it. Yeah, baby, we're all in this together, you and me. Same path, same process, same God, same spirit, same everything. You know, it's all different names and it's just all the same. It's all one big glob of God. So no matter what religion you're in, we're in it together. You're just doing it in a different way than I am, but it's all the same deal. It's all the same deal at some point. And then some of them are a little bit more efficient than others. Some of them are what you might call faster. Some of them are what you might call whatever, but everybody's learning in their own way, so it's all perfect. So you never want to obviously give somebody a hard time for where they are, or so they won't give you a hard time for where you are, and everybody gets to go as fast as they want, and you get to pick your pace, pick your teacher, and when you get tired of one, then you move on to another one, or you don't, or you just stick with that, and you just keep going until you figure out really what the heck is going on. So you figure out, well, wow, that's cool, that's interesting, my goodness, could it be, no, could it be that, oh, whoa, you know, so you start having aha moments every day, and then you really understand who you are, where you are, why you are, how you got here, and where you're going, I mean, all the big ones, and it's possible, and, yep, and, but oftentimes, you know, I've done it for lifetimes, too, I just got so far, and I just got tired or scared, lazy, all of the above, and just quit. You just quit. Well, I'm good. And you just, you know, you quit, and then after a while, you just die, and whoops, pop back again. Am I doing this again? Of course, we don't remember it, that we've reincarnated again, but, you know, one of the keys is once we start to see a lot of our past lives, then it helps us to understand how the game is played. It really does, and then it puts things more into perspective. I love that word, perspective. Callers always come first, even though when I'm ranting on about this or that. Good morning, who's this?
Hey, Patrick, this is George in Oceanside, California.
Yeah, I knew Oceanside was in California, kid. I just knew it.
Yeah, there's one in New York, too, but anyway. Yeah, it's overcast and 73.
Oh.
How are you doing over there?
100. Well, we're looking towards another 100, George, here. But it is cooler than 110, which is what it was on Tuesday. So we're gaining on it, George.
You're gaining on it, yeah.
And cool.
We push up into the 80s sometimes. It's really hot, you know, everybody.
Wow, really? You guys think it's hot at 80?
Yeah, well, 85.
Yeah, yeah. So where's Oceanside? Is that south there near San Diego, George?
It's just south of Pendleton. Pendleton is a big marine base.
Sure.
Huge,
sure.
Marine base on the West Coast.
I know Pendleton, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oceanside is the town, and for many years it was a military town, but now there's, 300,000 to 400,000 people have moved, suburbs of San Diego. So
how far are you from San Diego?
35 miles.
Oh, I went to boot camp in Navy in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, there's a ship, they still keep this ship ashore or something.
Yeah,
down there.
To train us, yeah. Navy types. Yeah, we were right next to the Marines base, George, in Nimitz Field, where I was, Nimitz.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they still have a marine presence. Everything's been downsized, shopping and houses. They took over that land because it was right on the water, you know. And,
yeah, it was nice land, yeah.
Yeah, nice land on the water.
nice land on the water.
yeah.
Government appropriated from the Indians long ago, I guess.
Yeah, the housing prices here are crazy. I don't know if the real estate market is peak. It's hard to say when you never know. Yeah, how do you they don't ring a bell and say, okay, real estate market
is time
peak.
To sell. Time to sell. You know.
Yeah.
I think they're beginning to start to see some real softness in California because the affordability, you understand
well, yeah.
that. Yeah, that's been that's kind of hit the top where people can not afford to buy anymore. Yeah. So then that's what usually slows it down.
Yeah, I've just been amazed. I've lived here. I came out with the Navy. I was a naval officer back in the day. And I came out to San Diego, and I just, I came from, I think I was up in New York visiting relatives, and then it was snowy in March of 70, I think. And so I came to Coronado. Have you ever heard of Coronado?
Sure, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it was like sunny for 13 days straight. I just lay around the pool, EOQ, and I went, man, I'm never leaving this place.
I'm sticking around here, kid. I'm staying.
Yeah. But it's just been amazing how the housing went, from back in the day where a middle-class guy could buy a house like me, and $30,000, you could buy a house, and now it's like 20 times that, $600,000 maybe you get something.
Oh, yeah, well. The dollar, it's all about the dollar just loses value.
Yeah. So I'd say by that metric, the dollar's lost, down to 5% in just since 1970. So 5 cents from a buck since 1970.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I think from the time, Andy's figured out, George, from the time the Federal Reserve, 1913, about 96 cents, 96 cents has been whittled off.
Yeah, it lost. It's interesting that he talks about that 1970 period, and that's just when I arrived in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are other factors, like there was no bridge. Well, Coronado had been an island, in essence, with a ferry. And then you put a bridge in, you're going to have more people moving there. You know what I mean? So those prices started to move in the early 70s, and then but throughout the county, I mean, it's a big county. And,
what's up with you, George? What's going on in your life? Why'd you call?
I'm holding my Dave Stetzer talked about he talks about the kilohertz range. I have an RF meter that also measures it. He gave units, he said safety within this kilohertz range, if you could get under 25 nanoteslas. And the other one was for the RF, and I'm standing right next to my Wi-Fi, and it's reading, it just hit 4,000.
Oh, my God. George. Georgie.
I'm standing right next to 4,000, then it better drop down. It's fluctuating, it's a fluctuating thing. But, if I get 10, he talked about 10 feet away. I think he threw out a number of 10,000, but
you're just coming up with numbers. He didn't give all those different numbers. George, you want to listen to the interview again. He's got one specific number that's very clear, and I'm looking in my notes here, George, to see if I can find it. It is, 10 meter? You get on the 10, let's see, meter, see if I can remember it. Meter squared, do you remember what exactly?
Well, here's the
because I don't want to get too complicated here. We'll get in the weeds and we'll lose everybody.
The unit that he talked about is microwatts.
Meter square.
Meter square.
That's right. It. There you go. Okay. So do you have a setting on your RF? Hold on, George. Let me kind of, because I want to get through this without confusing a lot of people. A lot of people won't have any idea what we're talking about. So let me kind of run the.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you have microwatts metered squared, right? So if you put that on your RF meter, do you have a setting for that?
Well, yes, I.
Okay,
I
put that on there, and what does it read? Just work with me here, George. Just keep it simple.
As they say, right next to. Okay, I'm 2 feet away from the Wi-Fi. Now, I should point out, my Wi-Fi is 10 years old, very weak. It is not one of these new,
right.
Do a whole building. You know what I'm talking about? They really jacked the power up.
Okay. Well, what does yours read on the reading he suggests?
Well, right now it just hit 5,000.
Yeah, and you know what hit the safe level is according to the Russians on that level, on that meter?
Well, I think he said 10.
10. George.
Did he say 10 or
he
did
said,
I miss
No, he said he 10, said, George.
He said 10.
And you're sitting in 5,000? No, come on, George.
At 4,700.
Well, get and plug that, George.
Well, I'm going to back up, if you don't mind. Okay. I'm going to back up.
God love
him. Because I moved, after I heard Stetson the first time, yeah. I moved my Wi-Fi out into the... It used to be, Patrick, 6 inches from my right knee.
Oh, good.
All right? Now it's out in the garage, and I'm standing at this point, standing, it's 100. So he said 10. I'm standing at 100, which is about where my computer is, and so I'm still 10 times what he said was a
right, but that's a lot better than 5,000. That's a lot better than 5,000.
Yeah, and I got an old one, a weak one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's very dramatic. Now,
yeah.
I'll tell you something I did. I have some insulation with aluminum foil on one side, and I created a little box.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Create a little box out of the insulation, this rigid insulation, and inside there, it was only 5. And it was the same distance that I just described. It was 5,000. So shielding makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, but does your computer still run when you do it?
Huh?
Huh? Does your computer still run when you do it?
Well, yeah. A little box.
No, George, just listen to the question. When you shield it with aluminum foil, does your computer still work?
Well, I'm not shielding the computer. I'm shielding the meter.
I understand.
Inside the box.
Oh, you mean you're shielding the meter?
I made a little...
Oh, George, okay. All right. So,
out of aluminum foil.
Don't do that, because... Okay,
so... I put the meter inside of it, and I can be within... Well, not right next to the thing. I haven't tested that, but I'm saying it's 5 feet away.
Right.
It's 5 feet away.
So let me ask you this, George. When you put the Wi-Fi out in the garage and you get the meter reading in your home where you are to 100, can you still get on the internet and everything's cool?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, my wife uses a computer upstairs.
Okay, good.
25, 30 feet away, so. I would say buy a 10-year-old router.
No, don't do that, George. Router. No. We don't recommend routers. Just do a hardwire. Wi-Fi suck.
Well, according to these meters, I'm sitting, even at when I sit for 6 hours at my computer, I'm sitting in 10 times the acceptable level.
And, George, you've been working on your health calling for years, and you've been in 5,000 soup for all that time. I mean, I think you've really stumbled onto something.
Well, every little bit helps.
No, it's not a little bit. Did you hear the show with Paul and what it does to the cells in the body?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you've tried 150 million different things because I know who you are. Hold on a second. Take a breath. And if you really understand what these things could be doing to your body at 5,000, all the stuff you've been doing could have had no effect on what you've been doing, but very little with the effect on the cells in the body and all that. So this is important discovery, so good for you.
Yeah, if you stand in front of a microwave, like that, say you work in a restaurant.
All right, let's not go there right now. I understand.
Microwaves all around.
I understand.
In the kitchen. Say you're in the kitchen. We're talking 70,000.
I know.
We're talking, you're there working 6-8 hours a day in that kitchen. Good luck, buddy.
I wouldn't let a microwave in my home. There's no way.
I mean, they're really high.
Have you put your meter outside of a microwave? Have you put your meter outside of a microwave?
I have. Yeah. I turned it on. When it's off, it's not a problem. It's only when you turn it on.
And what was the reading? What was the reading when you turned it on?
Something like 70,000.
Oh my God! Really? Wow.
And I mean, you can't even even if you're 10 feet away, it's still up in the 10,000 range. I mean, it's high.
I know.
You don't want to stand in front of a microwave. For 30 seconds to heat up your coffee.
I don't think so.
No. You know, I wanted to mention magnesium because the guy talked about these calcium, you know, channels being upset and getting all wonky.
Yeah.
With the
EMFs.
You've done that. He talked about the calcium channel.
Right.
I had a heart episode in 2003, and that was they put me on a calcium channel blocker.
Right.
Which, you know,
I understand.
I had the electrical problem in the heart.
Right.
And your heart goes up to 250 beats a minute, and man, you think it's going to explode out of your chest.
Yeah, you think.
Go to the emergency room, and you're setting off alarms like your own private episode of ER.
That's
crazy stuff.
My own private episode of ER.
Anyway. Well, they put me on a calcium channel blocker, and I weaned myself off of it because I read, and this is very important, magnesium is nature's natural calcium channel blocker. And I have been, since that point in time, a heavy user of magnesium supplements. I whatever the recommended dose is, the RDI may be 400 or something, I go 1,000 or more, you know, triple. 1,200. Now, you can take it in the form, you know, there's all kinds of ways of getting magnesium in you. You can do baths. I don't do baths, but, you know, some people really get it through the skin. But anyway, there's a point. It's nature's natural. And my heart is, I don't have the palpitations. I don't have the tachycardia. It's, you know, I've changed a lot of other things. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Well, good. Well, George, I'm glad you got on that Wi-Fi thing, and, you know, keep your meter out, and, you know, keep on top of that, and even the 10, I don't, like you say, maybe the 100 isn't the best. Can't you just hardwire your computer?
Well, ironically, the computer is hardwired, but then I have a laptop, and then I have this, my wife is upstairs with her laptop, so we kind of, you make a point. I have spaces on the router to hardwire, and I could run a wire upstairs to her laptop, which doesn't move. My laptop does move around the house. I don't know. Here's the key takeaway. Distance shrinks it really rapidly.
So
I am at 5,000 a foot away. It's 13,000 a foot away. Okay, so now I get back up. I'm going to 10 feet, and it drops off to 150. So from 5,000 to 150 just by going 10 feet.
Right.
So distance helps an awful lot. I mean, that's a big drop. That's a 50-fold drop just by distance. Then if you put some aluminum, I would say it a piece of rigid insulation. They sell it at Home Depot in 4-foot by 8-foot sheets. And just stick it, you know, block between you and the Wi-Fi. Maybe you could get it even lower. So, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, George. Well, I'm glad you found the discovery. So you're going to get healthier than ever. Let us know how you do.
Well, I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. Bye. That's a trip. He was sitting. Poor George was in 5,000 RFs. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. Well, probably the Dave Stutcher Show probably extended George's life about 20 years right there. Get out of that soup. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with those routers, man. Steve writes in, he's a good researcher. Typically, Wi-Fi routers that come with AT&T or Comcast internet services have a factory default setting of 400 meter watts transmitting power for the Wi-Fi interface. But you can log into the router, put your IP address in your browser, and adjust the Wi-Fi power setting down to 25 milliwatts, which will probably still work fine. No need to broadcast your signal to your neighbors. Of course, it's even better just to log into your router and disable the Wi-Fi interface and do this on your computer and plug in the Ethernet cable. I agree, and that's what we do here. I take out the, I do have a router, but the you know, the Wi-Fi thing is turned off, and just use your Ethernet cable. I'm thinking about getting my internet down to my TV downstairs, because I'm beginning to watch more stuff just on Amazon Prime, and you know, you can get HBO now, and there's some cool shows there on like Billions on Amazon, through Amazon, but I'll just have them run, you know, a wire under the house, put a hole in the floor, and just bring it up and plug it into the TV. Yeah, the Wi-Fi things, they're just very dangerous. And now, and what we know, and now, you know, people are out there selling security systems that are all Wi-Fi. The model and the goal of this whole technology is to get everything digital, everything Wi-Fi, everything hooked up. You know, your refrigerator, well, the Wi-Fi is going to read the barcode on your products and tell you when you're low on yogurt and all this stuff. You know, new refrigerators come with a Wi-Fi thing. Mine doesn't put out anything. I don't know why I put a meter on it, so I guess it's got to have something to go to for it to broadcast. But I don't get any reading on my fridge. And this whole thing is going to all sound so great, and everybody's going to come in and talk to your lights and say, turn on lights, and how much, you know, this, and all this automatic stuff, and it's all just nonsense, you know. It's not, you know, if it was really helping people to go more, to look into, you know, who they are and where they're going and all that, but it's just more dumb information, dumb stuff, you know, that people are into, more fake news and more drama, and easier ways to give people, you know, make their head explode with fear and war, and it's just all nonsense. So it's just one big dance that I'm not going to be involved in. I would encourage you to think about it and not be involved in it. It's you know, it's just heartbreaking to see what's going on with these kids and the games and the kids on their cell phones and texting every 20 seconds, and the whole human connection thing. It's very dangerous. Birth rates and sperm count rates are amazingly half of what they were 50 years ago, and this is all a lifestyle thing that's been perpetrated. And the people, I don't blame the people doing all this with the GMOs and the technology. You know, the people are dumb enough to do it. You know, if we're just stupid enough to do it, this is what'll happen. And I'm not being, you know, mean to people, but they're just ignorant, they're uneducated, and they don't know what all this stuff is doing to them. So they just keep lining up. Give me the new iPhone, and it's just a shame. But it's just planet Earth, and it's, you know, we don't die, so come back and do it again. Hey, this is pretty cool. This is pretty interesting. Somebody sent me this. Where is this? Now I had it. Oh, here it is. Check this out. Now, as wacky as California is, and I give them a hard time because they're so socialist, lefty, communist pinkos, but when schools in California's Sausalito Marin County return to session next month, they're going to be the first in the nation to serve their students 100% organic meals, sustainably grown, sourced, and free of genetically modified organisms. 500 students at Bayside MLK Junior Academy in Marin and Willow Creek Academy will eat fresh local food year-round thanks to a partnership with the Conscious Kitchen, a project of the environmental education nonprofit Turning Green. Students everywhere are vulnerable to pesticides, residues, GMOs, and they're going to do it. Wow. This program is the first to take to a stand against GMOs. While long-term effects of GMOs are still uncertain, a growing body of evidence links them to a variety of health risks. 80% of the items on most supermarket shelves are GMO. Man, we should talk to these people. pretty cool. So as wacko as California is, God love them, they're oftentimes the first in some of these things. So we have a whole school district here. Of course, you got to have $1 billion to live in Marin County, Sausalito, but that's besides the point. Got to start somewhere. That's right. Unfortunately, it's going to take a long way to work its way back in the inner city, but I don't know. Oh, well, you do what you can, you know? Just don't look at the glasses half empty, Patrick. Half full. Half full. Thank you very much. Adam writes in that JFK's personal physician, Dr. Janet Travell, used trigger points to loosen his back. How be done? Trigger points are actually acupuncture points, which are mobile, not stationary. So-called traditional Chinese medicine can't handle the idea of wandering acupuncture points. Dr. Travell helped Bonn Pruden mycotherapy. So trigger points, though, Adam, they're still points that you want to get in and not having them be triggering. Why are they, did they just pop in a certain area so you could kind of like learn something or work on a certain part of your body? But it's something you want to work and you want to get at them, right? Because when I'm doing yoga, every now and then I can feel this one in my neck and it'll go, man. It's been doing that for years, off and on. But like I say, I felt it in a couple of years and then doing these neck things. Adam, what do you think about these neck stretches? Do you think it's okay to do it 180 degrees? Got any input on that? Do you agree with Carol that this chiropractor said don't do it with your head back? Should it be? Is there any cautionary tales here, in your opinion? As long as we're all opining. Oh, good. Adam says, get ready for 6G technology. Well, they haven't done 5G yet. It's being developed 20 miles down the road from the University of California, Santa Barbara. The usual suspects behind U.S. Santa Barbara's 6G project, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is funding 40% of the JUMP research efforts, while a consortium of companies pay 60%. Core companies are ARM, EMD, and all these Lockheed, Raytheon. Yeah, this is all military stuff that they're experimenting on with us humans. All military stuff. They want all this stuff fast, super fast. They want it all. They want to do it all. Let me see if I can. Hello? 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 I don't know why that does that. Yeah, DARPA, just... DARE, I don't know, you probably don't want to research it. You'll probably go into a fetal position. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, funding 60% of the 6G, right? And they're just working on 5G. So, you know, I think the only way to go is to figure out how to protect ourselves on the spiritual level, because there's probably not going to be anywhere we're going to be able to go where it's not going to really dig in. And I think we can do it. I know we can do it. So that's what... That's my focus. Teach people how to do that because, you know, these people aren't going to stop. This is planet Earth. We're in the Kali Yuga. You know, what can I tell you? However, even though we're in the Kali Yuga, we've just started the inner cycle of the Golden Age. We're going to have 12-year cycles of the Golden Age beginning last October. We're almost done with our first year. This is real. And this is a golden age, baby. That means you and I and everybody who wants to participate in the golden age can have golden lives, can have as much abundance as we need, everything that we need, best food ever, everything, golden age. You're on planet Earth. Join the club. Stretch, baby, stretch. No stretching in certain directions is an old chiropractor's tale. Oh, not stretching in certain directions is an old chiropractor's tale. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's just one more thing they want to say that they not to do, right? Don't do that. Yeah, it's hard to imagine that the body would be designed where you would stretch in a certain direction and it would be a problem. That doesn't even make sense to me. Stretch, baby, stretch. Yeah. I'm going with you, Adam. I'm with you, kid. What's why we whoop you? Stretch, baby, stretch. Stretch, baby, baby, stretch. You know what's fun, too? Do a sauna and then go out and just towel off a little bit. And then, it's okay, Doodle. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. She heard something. And then stretch. Boy, you talk about becoming a noodle. Doodle, hey, come here. Come on. Come here. No, it's all right. There's just somebody over there way across the creek. They're working on a house. And they won't hurt you. Why don't you lay down right here? There we go. She's such a good girl. Yeah, she looks out the window. She sees somebody probably half a mile away, right? And she goes, always protecting Patrick. God love her. Become a noodle. So I'm kind of dancing, but for, oh, okay. I wanted another call just for fun. Hello? Hello?
Hi, Patrick.
What trick?
Hi, may I speak to Patrick?
This is what trick, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick, this is John.
Oh, John.
Hey, how you doing?
John, you sound so distant, John.
Oh, really? Is this better?
Kind of, sort of. You on one of those cell phones?
Yeah, yeah.
What do we tell you about cell phones, John? Don't you kids ever
learn?
Don't you kids ever learn? Don't you ever learn? Don't you listen to your elder statesmen? These darn kids, they just don't learn anything. I tell you what, I don't know what to tell them. That's hilarious. First time I ever said that. What's going on, Johnny?
Oh, not too much. I just wanted to see how things are going. How's the weather in Texas?
Oh, really, man. Hot? I tell you what.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Doodle and I, you know, 3 or 4 times a day, we go out on the porch and just hose off. She just stands there. I just hose her down. I just put the hose over my head.
So what are you doing with the water situation? I heard that water, you lost the rainwater, so now you have to get a new supply of water?
Well, yeah. I went on vacation, and you know how fate would have it sometimes when things go bad just at the most worst time. Never had a leak like this in 20 years. Came back.
Yeah.
There was a leak under the house because of just the way the thing was piped. It wasn't good, and I created it because I didn't deal with it. You know, I looked at it for 20 years and it seemed to work, but I knew it wasn't stable. You know, it was one of those things, you know. After 20 years, Spirit said, well, okay, you know, I've tried to warn you enough. You've looked at this thing enough times. Let's just get this done. And boom. So I lost all my water.
Oh, no.
I had 5,000 gallons, which I thought I'd make it till the rains come. You know, they usually come.
Yeah, right.
Right, sometimes. So, yeah, so I had to get water delivered. And there's a place called, check out this name, H2O2U. Isn't that great?
Uh-huh.
H2O2U. So I call them, and they come out, and they have just, you know, it's just street water, you know what I mean? Just street water. But
yeah,
you got to have something that's wet. So
yeah,
they put 2,000 gallons in my tank for $100, and so there I am. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. But it's not as good as the rainwater.
No, it's okay. not good water. But I have a nice filter on my shower, really nice filter that Ken Roller turned me on to, so it's fine. And we're distilling our water, and we're also getting some glacier water from the store, you know, some of the really nice bottled water. I think it's called Glacier.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then we're distilling that too. So, you know, we're good. It's going to rain soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long is that going to take to refill the, you know, the your tank with the rainwater?
Well, At our current square feet of roof space, that's what determines, you know, how much roof space you have. At our current roof space, we get, John, we get We get 1 inch. It turns out pretty easy to calculate. We get 1,000 gallons for every inch of rain. It just turned out, that calculation turned out that.
So all you need is 5 inches of rain to refill the entire tank.
No, the tank is, we have 2 10,000 gallons tanks. So we have 20,000. So we'd have to get, we'll have to get 20 inches of rain to fill that puppy up.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, shouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. And you don't need to be full. You know, I mean, you can operate fine on 2,000 or 3,000 gallons in your tank. But I just looked at it yesterday when Doodle and I went out for a walk, and we have about 1,000, 1,200 gallons left. I think I use more water flushing a toilet than anything. You know, toilets use a lot of water. Have you? You know that? It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they do.
I never got one of those low flush water things, and you know, I never.
Oh, no.
So we probably use more of that than anything, you know? And if I keep pooping like I'm pooping with these living streams things, I'll be out of water in no time. Jeez.
That's a good thing. This is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, but boy, it's a lot of water. I'm going to start complaining to Wayne Blakely. That's what I say. Hey, Wayne, come on, man. Slow down here. I slowed down in taking them because I was like, man, things were happening in my body. I was going, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on?
Imagine if you take that and the Vitality capsule.
Oh, no, you wouldn't want to do that. No, you know, you wouldn't want to do that. No, don't try that at home, because you wouldn't leave home, dude. No, you wouldn't be leaving home anytime soon.
Yeah.
How are you doing? I think you emailed me a while ago. You're having a little lung thing going on.
Yeah, I've been, working out this lung thing. I don't know what it is, a couple of weeks, so just trying to figure out this coughing thing. So, thanks a lot for sending my question to Dr. Daniel. I think that was helpful. So, I just wanted to see what other things I can do to clear up this, lung thing, like an infection or bronchitis.
Mm-hmm.
It's been bothering me, so...
Do you think you have an infection?
Yeah. I think so, because when I cough, there's like sometimes like there's some blood come out, so that's a little bit scary. You know, I mean, I don't feel like a lot of pain, but it's just when you come out and you see that, you just don't know if it's something more serious.
Well, you're a healthy guy. What did Dr. Daniel say about the blood? I refresh my memory what she said about it.
She said that when you're coughing, if you have a serious bout of coughing, what happens is there's some blood vessels in the lungs, right, that can burst. So then, when you cough, that's going to cough up, especially if you have been coughing for a long time and pretty hard. So you may have burst some blood vessels.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's good, because in the movies, when you cough up blood, that means you're going to die.
Exactly. That's true.
So don't watch that movie.
Exactly.
That's right. Every time they cough up blood in the movies, they die. I don't know what to tell you. I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Ever notice that when somebody's going to die, right? Right? They always have the guy coughing up blood in a handkerchief, and then the music goes, bada, boom, boom, boom.
That's usually what happens.
So don't watch that movie, John.
Don't watch that movie.
So I was glad to hear that when I asked that question to Dr. Daniels, because I was a little concerned too, because I saw the movie, that when you cough up blood, you're going to die. And so when you said that, I was worried about you, John. So. I go, whoa, man. So, if I had that going on, what I would do, John, as I said in my email, I would really get yourself a little nebulizer. They're pretty cheap, I think.
Nebulizer.
Like $25. Okay. And I would get some of this real high potency colloidal silver from Gary Hanna on the website, Maybe get the 750 parts per million. And you could put some of that in your nebulizer. And I tell you what, if you got an infection in there, this is not medical advice, but I guarantee, I bet it's going to croak it.
It's probably going to clear it.
I think so. I think it would clear it out.
So So what's the difference between a nebulizer and just a diffuser? The ones that they use where you put essential oils in it, diffuses the oil into the air. Yeah. What's the difference between the two?
Okay, an oil diffuser is just a little thing you put in your room, right, and you plug it in, and then you put some essential oils, and that just kind of wafts out, the essential oil in a kind of a smoke kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's good. I mean, if you have one of those, you could certainly do eucalyptus. What you could also do, you could put some eucalyptus essential oil or the actual leaves in a pot on your stove and put your head, put a towel over your head and really breathe deep into that. And that might open up some things as well.
Okay. Yeah. I should try that as well. Yeah. I know Tony P has a formula that he does, putting essential oils. I'm not sure exactly what else, but he has a video that talks about what he would do with these lung infections. So I've been watching that.
Well, be careful with his stuff because you might just, land on another planet if you do some of his things. So. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's got some good recipes for sure. He's done a lot of research.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But, nebulizers, they're really fun to have because you can use them for a lot of cool things. Like I've been nebulizing maybe that the perfect molecule from Wayne, the carbon C60 or... And I do the silver every now and then just for fun, to keep things happy down there. And a nebulizer then is a little machine, so because you asked about the difference. And what you do is you just plug it in, and they have a little cup there, and you fill it up with distilled water, very little bit, maybe 3-4 tablespoons, and then you put whatever you want in there, and that determines how strong it is. And then you just...
Right.
You turn it on, and then it comes this steam or this essence, which is really what it does is it breaks up the actual molecules. So when you breathe it into your lungs, it can go straight to your bloodstream. They invented this stuff, this nebulizer, years ago for patients who had a hard time swallowing and needed to get their medicine in kind of quickly. That they would break up the medicine or put it in liquid form. And that's what it was originally designed for, was for that.
Okay.
Yeah, to get things into the bloodstream.
You have to be careful what you put in the medicine.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, we be careful because it's going right in,
Exactly.
Yeah. I told you what happened when I put in Wayne Blakely's mold relief stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got sick.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
I mean, sick in a good way. I mean, it was a detox, right?
But it's a detox, right?
It was
a detox.
So I must add some mold in my lungs. I think we all have a little bit of mold in our lungs. I just think we do.
Yeah, oh, sure.
If you live around sheetrock.
Well,
but
I think you probably have to be careful the quantity, what you put into the nebulizer.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't go in too fast and you detox too fast.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Because there's people that recommend that you can do a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in a nebulizer to make it more powerful, and you can... And Gary Hanna talks about it, but you got to be really careful. I think it's Dr. Massey says it's 1/10 of 1% hydrogen peroxide. Okay. So you do the math on that, and that's not a lot. I mean, it's like a drop maybe.
Okay.
But that'll burn your lungs if you overdo that.
Which show should I listen to? The show with Gary Hanna talking about this topic.
I don't know. Have we ever really done a show just on nebulizing? I don't think so. But I would just get a nebulizer and I could give you some ideas. On the silver, I mean, I've actually nebulized straight silver and I haven't really, But I mean, if you're really infected down there, you could feel a little wonky, like flu-like substances if you're killing off a lot of stuff, But I would start slow. Don't try to save the world in one night, Like I do. Don't do what I do.
Yeah.
Don't do what I do. So I told Wayne about the mold relief, and I said, I had the flu that night. He said, well, don't do that. I said, well, okay. He said, don't do that.
Yeah. just go slowly, probably better.
And that was diluted, the mold relief, 7-1, you know, just like we used in the fogger. That wasn't even straight. I'm glad I didn't do it straight. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot for the suggestion.
Sure. Has this been going on for a while, the lung thing?
Probably about 2 weeks. I don't know what happened, but like one day it just happened. Like, okay, I don't know what's happening. And it just got worse and worse during that week. And slowly getting better.
Slowly getting better? So that's a good sign.
It's probably in the summertime, you have a lot of air conditioning. You don't know what's circulating in that. Mm-hmm. You use air conditioning system.
You never know.
Right. Yeah.
What you could do, John, you know, you could have a cell phone and tape this, and you go into Grand Central Station, start spitting up blood on your handkerchief and look at it and scream. I mean, you can have all kinds of fun with it. He's going to die.
Let's see what happens.
Oh, John, I can't believe I come up with this.
That's a good one. I'll let you know how that goes.
Don't try that at home, John. You don't want to do that.
I'll just do it at home. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, great. So what are you going to do later today?
Well, what am I going to do later today? I'm going to do a spiritual exercise during the full moon thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is happening, I think, 11 o'clock, right? 11 o'clock.
I think it's
12 o'clock. I'm sorry. 12 o'clock Central Time, and 12, it'll be 1 o'clock your time. And I thought that would be fun. Because this yogi said that...
You don't stay up that late, though, right? You don't stay up that late.
I'm sorry?
Generally, you don't stay up that late, right?
No, it's going to be now in an hour it's happening.
It's an hour. Okay.
It's happening in an hour, yeah.
An hour, okay.
That's why most of us in North America, except those with a special internet connection, we'll see the lunar eclipse. Yeah, they're seeing it down in a... Yeah, it's happening in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It came at the wrong time. I was going to talk to God and have it come, you know, at night, but...
Yeah.
I forgot.
Okay. Thanks a lot for all the help and, the suggestions. So definitely
get ready. Oh, sure. My pleasure. My pleasure, sir.
Thank you so much.
See you real soon.
Yeah, good talking to you again.
Bye. Same here, John. Take care. Okay. He's a good one. Oh, John's a good one. Oh, yeah. I wanted to just cover this real quickly. Cindy writes in. She's in San Diego near George. I hear you talk about your golden doodle all the time, and it's very sweet. I wonder what kind of things you do for her to help her stay young like you. Oh, how'd you know I'm young like me? How do you know I'm young? Thanks. What we basically do, dear one, is do raw meat as their main food. I mean, just meat. Good meat. So do the best you can with that. You can do beef and chicken and can't get turkey raw, really, but some places sell ground-up turkey. But, you know, if you can afford that, and get grass-fed organic if you can, because it's real important. You know, there's feeding these cows all kinds of silly things. That's really silly. But even if you can't get grass-fed and you can't afford grass-fed, you know, you could give natural, where they just at least have an antibiotic-free. I would go for that. And then even if the animals are eating GMO corn and stuff, they'll be fine. Just bless it, you know, just change it. Just go down there and talk to your doggy and say, okay, well, these animals may have eaten GMO foods, but this is the best we can do right now, so this is going to be fine because we want all this GMO stuff to leave the food now. Okay, so you're done with that. So you have no GMOs in your food. So then, and then I would do that. And what you can do is you can add, you know, if you really want to have some fun, you're going to do some coconut oil in there, some of the food. You can put, I like to get some I got a really nice supplier of beef, of pig fat, and he does really nice fat with grass-fed, no GMOs, and dogs really like that. Coconut oil they like. Sometimes some nutritional yeast you can do to help with fleas and things. Also, garlic is really good. I do a clove of garlic every day with Doodle, and really helps, works on great for fleas, and you don't have to give them that flea medicine. And if you get some of that fat, you can just do a clove of garlic, smash it up a little bit, put a big blob of that fat, and they'll just eat it right down. I've been giving her some C60, the perfect molecule, from Wayne Blakely, also Bob Kreska's C60. She seems to like that. I'm doing the pet probiotics from Living Streams in her water. She likes that. We don't do a lot of other stuff. I know I do other things. I go online and get some really nice treats. And if I can get to my Amazon page, I could maybe give you the names of some things. You know, dogs like treats. Also, if you can go to your farmer's market or somewhere, even Whole Foods, and get some bones, that's really good for them. Bones. They love to chew on bones. Keeps their teeth nice and healthy and white, so you don't have to go. A lot of people get their dog's teeth cleaned. You don't have to do that. You don't want to do that. That's not good. Sometimes they put the dogs to sleep and all that. No, don't do that. And the bones will keep them nice and clean. There's a Green Butterfly brand's organic grain-free dog treats on Amazon. Green Butterfly. That's cool. She likes those. I try to do organic all I can. I'm blessed enough to have the funds to do it because you guys support me with buying our products. But if you can't, then go to natural, where it's at least it's antibiotic-free and stuff like that, so they don't give the cows and the pigs drugs and stuff. And they'll be fine. Just bless it. Be grateful. And the most important thing, I think, is love. Just love, love, love your doggy. Good clean water. Make sure they have good clean water, not street water. If you don't have a water filter and you're just doing tap water, well, then I would get her some spring water from the store. That Glacier stuff is good. Or distill it. And then you can put some Living Streams multi-minerals in there. You can put some of the minerals or put a little sea salt if you can't afford that. A little sea salt. Garlic is good. You know, I could come up with some other things we do, but I think that's a good, I appreciate you asking. That's how we do. And lots of love. And they'll be fine. Try to stay away from the vet if you can, because they just kind of want to give them shots and stuff. And, rub this stuff on them. They won't get fleas. It's just very challenging, you know. A lot of yuck stuff in there that you don't need. Doggy doesn't need it. I mean, think about it, you know, out in the country, and people had dogs for, you know, up until 30, 40 years ago before they even went to vets. We never went to vets, and dogs live forever. And we just gave them people food too. Remember, that was before dog food. They just ate scraps from the table. So you can mix people food in there. They do fine with it. If you want. Doodle likes organic chicken wings. And you can give bones, chicken wings raw, just so they're raw. Now cooked chicken wings are very harmful. Be careful. You don't want to do chicken unless it's raw. They do fine. Well, I guess it's time. We're going to go do something special for the solar eclipse. I think it starts in about, the lunar eclipse starts in about half an hour from now. Well, no matter where you are listening, the clock doesn't matter because it's just now. I like that. Carol writes in, Adano said that the side-to-side movements with digits caused synovial fluids to drain out of the joint, causing pain and making the person want to crack fingers the way more and more. creating more pain. Okay, now I'm confused. Adam, you still there? Carol says, Adano said that side-to-side movements with digits, what's digits, cause synovial fluid to drain out of the joint. What's digits? What are digits? Fingers? Digits? Okay. Maybe you guys could get together and help me out here. We'll figure it out. Okay, so we're going to go now. We're going to go now. I'm going to find the song I'm going to play for you. I don't know where I found this one. We've covered it all. So I love you all very much. Thanks for everything. Happy lunar eclipse. Talk to the moon angels in a half an hour. Let me know what you experience. I'm sure it'll be fun. And I appreciate your ongoing support. Thank you for all your support and trusting the products that we mentioned. That's how we support ourselves. So thanks for that. Have a nice day. Have a nice weekend. Stay cool. Bring some rain, will you? Talk to the rain angels and point to the map on Dripping Springs. Say, go there. See that house there with the solar panels and the kid there?